Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
The Killer Bees!
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Now bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
He's Joel, I'm Jeremy, and it is a Thursday edition of The Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Have to admit to the audience, I am fat and I am full. Frankie's Italian Kitchen stopping by before the show. Boy, talk about something you need before you kick off the Killer Bees. That was fantastic. What a way to start the day.
Unbelievable food, as I keep raving about to you guys, that if you haven't been there, you need to get there. Frankie's Italian Kitchen. And aside from all of the Italian favorites, including the pizza and the main dishes, the wings that he brought today, they're special. They're pretty darn good.
I like to think of myself as a wing savant, a wing aficionado, if you will. Mm-hmm. Those are really good.
Yeah, no,
those are really good.
And you always like it when the owner is still the cook, the chef that prepares the food, because you know he's going to do it right. And Chris Smith does that at Frankie. So appreciate you, Chris, coming in today, cutting some spots, bringing some grub along for the good people.
There's two other ways you can segue off of this. A couple of other people that are fat and full. Can we say that James Harden's fat and full after he left Houston, went over to Brooklyn? Is that fair to say?
Oh, his pocketbook is still full. His game isn't quite the same, so you could go that route.
Or can the Rockets be fat and full for the fact that they've won 7 games in a row? They're getting fat in victories. How about that last night? Beating Harden and beating the Nets.
Yeah, another great win. I didn't see it coming. I literally thought, because of the fact that they were without KPJ, without Green, and even if And you and I talked about this because we got word right before we got off the air that even if KD didn't play, this was Harden's return to glory days of Houston, go off and, you know, in one final time, you know, have a grand old time. And he didn't look very good. They didn't look very good. The Nets look, I keep telling you that all year that I thought that they built a better roster around their big three. But, man, Blake Griffin fell off the planet, and LaMarcus Aldridge is sitting out games on a regular basis, and Paul Millsap doesn't look very good. Patty Mills has been playing great, and they need Joe Harris back. But that Nets team they played last night didn't look very good. And the Rockets, again, and I brought it up since the streak started, and I don't want to say that, you know, any kind of bad things about Jalen Green. It's just that since he stopped playing, they started winning, and they haven't lost since. And it's really fun to watch this team play basketball right now.
They are playing at a very entertaining level of basketball right now. Garrison Matthews has been a revolution for this
team.
That's
Gary Bird to you.
Gary Bird. I won't go that far. Like, I saw some comps on Twitter comparing him to Chandler Parsons. I don't feel like that's a very good comp.
I don't either.
Because Matthews is a much better shooter than Chandler Parsons.
Now, Chandler was longer and was a better finisher and things like that. But, yeah, he's definitely a better shooter. He's really gritty on defense, the way he wants to take a charge. And he's got sneaky hops, too.
He does.
Some of the times that he punches on the rim and you're like, whoa, I didn't see that one coming. But he is definitely the Cinderella and your boy sweet shooting Armani Brooks. Those two guys are the Cinderella story of the Rockets this year because they came out of nowhere. And credit to Rafael Stone on those two, along with Jayshon Tate. He's found three diamonds in the rough, not as star players, but as role players. And every team needs shooting, and when you bring shooting like those two guys in particular do with Brooks and Matthews, you're doing a whole lot.
I think all three of those guys can be a piece on a playoff team. None of them would be like the top three players on a playoff team. I'm not even sure they're all starters. Maybe one of them, maybe probably Matthews, to me, looks Tate, too,
I think
depending
Tate,
on what you want, right?
So the way I made the comparison before, and I never say this to say that I want to degrade my boy Mario Elie, who had an unbelievable career. But when you have a starting lineup with a lot of punch to it, at a certain point you think the Rockets will, you need the guy that doesn't need the ball in his hands, doesn't need his shots, just does the little things, plays the defense, does whatever the Swiss Army knife needs to do. That's why Jayshon Tate would be a starter on a good team.
Yeah, I think that's a fair thing to say. Matthews could potentially be as well because he's such a good shooter, right? I mean, if he's like your fourth option in a starting five that can knock down the open Jay and then play really good defense on the other end, he's capable of being a starter in the league as well. And I like Armani with his shooting that he brings as somebody you can bring in on the bench. So you're starting to see a lot of the pieces come together a little bit here for Steven Silas. A much better brand of basketball after the 1-16 start. They've won 7 in a row. That was outstanding. The Nets, a little shorthanded. And James Harden, he gave us a typical James Harden game, at least in my opinion. 25 points, scored his points, 11 rebounds, got his rebounds, but he did it without being efficient. 4 of 16 from the floor, 3 of 12 from 3. He passed it around a little bit, had 8 assists. And then in typical James Harden fashion, 8 turnovers in the game.
Yeah, the turnovers stuck out to me. He still found his way to get to the line way too much, and that's why he's, you know, a good reason why he's had the scoring average he's had over the years is he's a very, very creative way in getting to the free throw line. And he continued to do that, got a majority of his points that way. The three ball wasn't falling like it used to for the Rockets. It's interesting when you look at it and you hear all these comparisons and people saying he's the second greatest Rockets of all time. And I know Murph really took offense to that. But I think that, look, for a while there were people that were saying he was the best Rocket of all time, which is just a farce, a travesty, and a complete insult to Hakeem Olajuwon. But James Harden is a guy, when you look at him, he's an unbelievable offensive talent. And Charles Barkley would actually go overboard with some of the ways he'd say when Charles said one day he was the greatest offensive player he's ever seen play. He played with MJ.
That's ridiculous.
But I will say this, and I've said this from day one. He's a guy that's better suited to be Batman or Batgirl than he ever will be. I mean, sorry, Robin or Batgirl than he ever should be Batman.
Because, why is he going to be Batgirl?
Well, because or Alfred, okay? How about that? Alfred or Robin. But he's not a Batman. He hates the pressure of and never wants to be the man when it comes to facing the questions, the scrutiny, when things go wrong, you know, and being able to take all the pressure on when the lights are the brightest and the clock is running down. But he's a hell of a player. But that's why I question his ability to win a championship. And this would have been his greatest opportunity this last year and this year. But with Kyrie doing whatever the hell Kyrie's doing right now, this Nets team isn't going to go very far. And it's all going to go on the shoulders of Kevin Durant. And with Harden becoming a free agent, I've already heard from people that were in and around his circle recently that he's already almost starting to grow a little leery of the Nets situation. And with a free agency on the horizon, he'd be interested in seeing what's out there. He even broached possibly coming back here, and I don't know that Houston wants him back.
No, the thing that Houston wouldn't want him back for is because the star that he brings, right? Like holding the plate up for James Harden, making sure that everything is done for James Harden. Like he probably wants that back, and I'm not sure the Rockets would be in a position to do that. Harden, after the game yesterday, full of excuses.
Man, it's frustrating. We got down early. We gave them too many opportunities. We know how well they've been playing. These last, week or two. But it's just, that's frustrating when you're just shorthanded so many guys and you're trying to make up for so many things. And it's just, especially coming off a back-to-back, me personally playing for 42 minutes last night, it's frustrating. But, it's something you can do. It's out of your control. You just got to keep pushing.
42 minutes the night before.
Brandon,
second leg of a back-to-back.
Like a violin concerto we could play in the background for that. So you can cry me a river, too. I mean, look, no one's going to feel sorry for a super team. You know, and Durant played 41 minutes the night before, and then so he needed rest. And he's been, if you look at his minutes throughout the year, he's a guy that needs rest. Like, uh-huh. I think that the Nets coach,
Steve Nash,
I think Nash has really overplayed him this season, and that he's got to be careful. James Harden needs to play more because he needs to slim down, and he needs to get back to, I kiddingly call him Slim Jim in sarcasm. But he needs to get to be Slim Jim for them to actually get to a point where they can really start clicking. Because right now, they're not clicking.
No, they're not clicking. I want to go back to the second greatest Rocket tech. Calvin Murphy was really upset about that. He thinks he's the second best? He thinks he's better than
Harden?
That's
what I was told when I was listening to the telecast last night, that they said Murph took real issue with the fact that they were mentioning that they thought Harden was the second best Rocket of all time. Now, look, Murph, and Murph is a pride guy. And Murph's got confidence, and obviously we all know Murph's got ego. But, I mean, Murph did it for a long time. And especially when you talk about, instead of making excuses, but a guy is 5'9".
Yeah.
And, you know, and stepped up. Everybody remember. It's not a lot of people. I don't know how long, how old people are either. But you know, the lore of Calvin Murphy goes back to Rockets Spurs in the playoffs in a deciding game, and he goes for 40 some in the Hemisphere Arena against George Gervin and the Spurs. I wasn't around for any of that, but wherever I traveled with Murph, that game came up, and he was always one of those guys, like pound for pound, the greatest fighter in the NBA as well. But he was a guy that represented Houston every time he took the court, and no one was ever ashamed of it.
It's an interesting debate. I think a lot of people are prisoner of the moment in it, and it's also a different generation and a different age, right? Like, there's way more offense now than there was back then, so that kind of it leads to whenever you start talking about it and comparing resumes, you're like, oh, well, James Harden, more points per game. Well, James Harden, this and that. Well, the game's played at a much different pace, much different tempo. Rockets now, by the way, as you look at the standings in the NBA, you know, they're only 2.5 games out of the playoffs, right?
So I was going to ask you guys that. That's one thing that I was thinking about last night. Like, this has all been a feel-good story, and I guess credit to Ari Alexander, who looked it up and said never has a team lost 15 in a row and come back and won 7 in a row in the same season in any major sport. But when you look at it, you say, now how much winning do you want them to do? Because, one, the schedule gets a whole lot tougher starting tomorrow night with the defending NBA champions in your building. But after the game in your building, you hit the road for a stretch against some good teams, too. But if you're a Rockets fan, I think it's okay. Because you don't want to, and you and I were kidding around a week or so ago about the, you know, who was going to be the bottom three teams and the Rockets at risk. Well, now they are, and now you're starting to really look at the standings going, I'm not so sure that playoff run is a good idea. Probably want to get back to where you were, not necessarily 15 straight, but you probably want to get back to some of those too.
Good news is that they're still only 1.5 ahead of the third worst record in the NBA, and why 3 is critical is because the top, or I should say the bottom three teams in the NBA, you have the most amount of lottery balls and the best chance to get number one. And then I think you're guaranteed a top four pick too if you finish in the bottom three. So it's interesting. Like, I wonder what the city's saying, because like, Twitter is very happy about the Rockets right now. They're winning. They've won 7 straight. They're, you know, playing a good level of basketball. Like, I wonder if the city, with knowing what's happening with the Texans and the fact that they're a joke and a dumpster fire and all that, like, which race do you want the Rockets to be involved in? That bottom three? Or the spot for number 10 in the Western Conference, which with the now play-in games gets you at least one playoff game. The little, you know, you win it, you're in it. If you lose, your season's over.
I don't think they should have any business even getting close to that play-in game. It's so much more important. As we were talking about with the Texans with the embrace the suck. Look, the Rockets are ahead of the Texans because they got some guys you can build around. We just got done talking about pieces, and we never even mentioned Şengün about pieces that are going to be rotational players and possibly better. And look, Josh Christopher on his birthday doesn't miss a shot, passes the ball well, shows that he's been putting in the time after games he's been on the court, getting his shots up, getting ready for the moment, capitalizes. This good young team needs a few more young players that are going to continue to develop with the guys they already got. They don't need to sneak into a playoff berth and screw themselves out of a quicker rebuild and restart than they already are on.
You probably need at least one more really good player on this team, which you more than likely need a top three, top four pick in this next NBA draft to try to acquire that. 713-780-ESPN. What side of that argument are you on? Bottom three or top 10 in the Western Conference? Which race would you rather see the Rockets in? 713-780-3776. Also on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. He's at Pac-Man Joel on Twitter, and I'm at Jeremy Branham. When we return, we start the Bryce Young campaign now. It's the Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we get to that, let's get to this big event coming up this weekend in the UFC. And MyBookie is ready for you. MyBookie.ag. Get in there right now. Get your account set up or get to your account. And let me just tell you something. It's like when you take a chance investing in stocks and you could double your money instantly. Well, why wouldn't you do that with MyBookie? You can predict when a hunch will pay off. Use the promo code BET975, go to mybookie.ag. I guarantee you'll double your first deposit all the way up to $1,000. And the best part is MyBookie accepts everything from credit cards to well-known cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin, Litecoin, Ethereum. So you can bet, withdraw with crypto, and keep on having all those games mean a whole lot more. This Saturday, UFC closing out 2021 with a bang. Two world title fights going down, UFC 269, Charles Oliveira, Dustin Poirier. The fight amounts to a coin flip, but both men have finish rates over 75%. You know, someone is not going to get down to scorecards and end this thing. Don't miss out. Double your first deposit up to $1,000. Use the promo code BET975. Bet on that UFC 269 and make sure all your bets go through mybookie.ag. You can bet anytime, anywhere, on any device, your phone, your laptop, your tablet, you name it, you do it, but you do it at mybookie.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. Razor-sharp commentaries delivered with a purpose. You found the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank.
Man's there. Jameson Williams, touchdown.
Bryce Young?
Yeah.
Oh, number one.
Absolutely. Number one pick in the draft.
Yeah. And Houston's got the one pick right now. Houston would be ecstatic about right. it because yeah. Bryce Young reminds me a lot of Aaron Rodgers. Just a flick of the wrist, the ability to, you know, make those throws from the pocket where his feet are a little bit scattered, yet accuracy and velocity, his creativity as a runner is spectacular. The awareness, just yeah. where everything, he's going so fast, but everything around him seems like it's going so slow. He will be the number one pick in the draft in 2 years.
We have to start the Bryce Young campaign now. Everybody's talking about how are the Texans going to find a quarterback in 2022? Are they going to take Kenny Pickett or Matt Corral, the top three pick? Are they going to trade down for, you know, somebody else that could be available in the middle rounds or in the second? Will they bring back Tyrod Taylor? Is Davis Mills the quarterback of the future? Will they be active in free agency? No! Figure out a way to get the number one pick in 2023 and take Bryce Young. The campaign for the Alabama quarterback begins today on the Killer Bees.
No doubt about it. We were thinking about it yesterday after Jeremy Fowler completely blindsided us with the album he would put behind him being a Jay-Z selection. And then we started talking about this and started talking about the draft. And I said, guys, just like Embrace the Suck, we need to start the Forever Young campaign. And you guys liked it. And we were like, before anybody else steals it, we're going to get it out there so that you guys know, starting now until it happens, you guys get the ideas for the T-shirts, get them made, get them to us, because we're all about that life. But let's make sure we start right now, Houston. Don't worry, like Jeremy said, don't worry about the quarterbacks this year. Worry about getting as many good players at many different positions as you can to start fortifying your roster. But let's worry about getting Bryce Young the following year. Forever Young campaign starts right now. Get your yard signs.
I'm usually leery too of quarterbacks from big name programs. I really am, because I feel like quarterback is a dependent variable, right? Like you are, like the way you look is going to be determined based on your offensive line. It's going to be, you know, the way you look is going to be determined based on your skill guys. You have a good running back because it's going to open up things for you. You have really good receivers. It's going to open up things for you. It's easier to quarterback at an Alabama, at a Clemson, at a true powerhouse than it is at, say, Pitt, than it is at, say, Kentucky, say, Ole Miss. You get the drift. A top-tier Power 5 versus a middle-tier Power 5. To me, the job's way easier. But I like what I see from Bryce Young. And it's not just the numbers where he's thrown for over 4,300 yards this season, 43 touchdowns against only four interceptions. It's not the fact that he's going to be the Heisman Trophy winner with Bill O'Brien as his offensive coordinator, by the way. But the way he plays the game, and we heard the clip there from Dan Orlovsky where it reminds him of Aaron Rodgers. Like, I'm not going to put Aaron Rodgers on him just yet because Aaron Rodgers is a Hall of Fame quarterback and one of the best that's ever done it. But I love his calmness. Like, the presence that he has whenever he's playing the position, I love how smooth he is. I love how calm it is. Nothing seems to, you know, pressure him. Doesn't seem like he has any sort of, like, where he frazzles in the moment whatsoever. I'm a big fan of Bryce Young. I love what I see.
No, I am too. And I think that, you know what, early on I was keeping an eye on Corral because I thought, look, the intangibles are there. The toughness factor's there. The athleticism is there. But then, you know, as the season went on, you look at it, you see some flaws. You don't definitely want to take a guy that you overdrafted for. You drafted too high and realized might have made a mistake. You don't want a Mitch Trubisky. You don't want to sit there with a small sample size and make a big decision. But the more you watch Bryce Young and the more you think about how young he literally is right now, and you go, he's only going to get better. If this is who he is now, imagine what he's going to be in a year or two when he can really develop at Alabama with the right coaching staff. And look, as much as we crap and deservedly so on Bill O'Brien, he's getting NFL-type coaching as part of his college experience to get him primed and ready. That can help a guy like Bryce Young. That's why there's your guy. Right then and there, right now. I don't know, Brendan, because you're a Lions fan. Look, the Lions probably as bad as they're going to be. They got Jared Goff, and he's under contract at a big number. Hopefully, they don't even need to think or worry about a quarterback so that that number one pick can be the Texans to do what they wish.
Joel, I got bad news for you. Like everything, being a Lions fan who works covering Houston sports,
yeah.
I think the two teams should do the same thing all across the board. I absolutely think the Lions should be interested in Bryce Young as well.
I don't like hearing that from you.
I mean, it's bad news, but you know what? I'll tell you this much. I don't think you're going to get the number one pick this year. I think there's a case to be made you'll have the jump on it next year.
You know, a way to do it, too, is like put yourself in the best possible position to where even if you don't get number one, you have the best assets to potentially get number one. So, like, it's something that we talked about yesterday, where if you're in a spot where you need to trade down this offseason to acquire picks next year and make sure you have two and then maybe three, depending on Deshaun Watson's trade situation, to where you have multiple first-round picks in 2023. So, where maybe if you have the third pick, you have the assets needed to trade up to get that number one spot.
Yeah.
One of the other things, too, like, and these are for the fans that have not given up on the Texans, that have not, you know, basically said, until Cal McNair sells this team, I will never, ever be a Texans fan again. But people that still want the Texans to be good again someday, and I'm one of those people, I want the Texans to be good again someday. But I feel like those people, for the most part, also want the Texans rebuild to happen quickly. Like, they want 2022 to be a 7-8 team, you know, where there are 7-10 team, where they want to be in a spot where they start winning a lot more games. I'm the opposite of that. Like, if you're going to have to live through football hell for a few years in order to totally shape the franchise going forward, you do it. Like, you shouldn't be thinking, okay, let's go 7-10 next season and then we're on track, then maybe a 10-7 year, and then you're back to being the Bill O'Brien Texans where you're like on the cusp every single year, but you're not truly a Super Bowl contender. Do the rebuild right. Like, be terrible for 2 to 3 seasons and then bring in very good players. There shouldn't be any sense of urgency to where if you don't fall in love with a quarterback in 2022, that you feel the need that you must select a quarterback some way, somehow to improve your team in 2022. Do the rebuild the right way.
Well, and here's the thing about the rebuild the right way too, fellas. In the NBA, you can try to do the rebuild the right way. See Sam Hinkie, trust the process. See what Sam Presti has been able to do in OKC by getting multiple first-round picks and tons of picks in the next 3 to 5 to 7 years. But we haven't seen him get the one thing that's hardest to do, which is that superstar-type player. In the NFL, it's easier because, yeah, you're looking for your franchise quarterback, but along the way with every one of those picks, they don't have to be superstars. The same way we talk about rotational players in the NBA, if you get the right pieces at every other position, then and you keep building, then you have a better chance to win. And then when the timing is right, the other thing that you think about with the Watson trade is you can use those two picks in combination to get the guy if you have to move up or move around to get your guy. But you're in a better position to do all those things. Get the key players right at all the different position groups while you're still waiting to see which quarterback you're focused in on. And if it is Young that you're focused in on, that's why this draft is so imperative to you to start stockpiling the roster back up so that you're not, when you do get your franchise quarterback, you're not still trying to rebuild the rest of the team and he takes hits, you take hits, and something happens with an injury or something where it shouldn't have if you did your planning right and building your roster.
713-780-ESPN, Houston. How do you feel about the Bryce Young campaign to Houston? 713-780-3776. Couple of texts that are anti-Bryce Young. Alabama and Ohio State quarterbacks are hit and miss. I don't want Tua 2.0. Look, I don't love powerhouse college quarterbacks. I'll be honest with you. I don't like quarterbacks from Bama, Ohio State. I didn't love Deshaun Watson from Clemson, to be honest with you. But this is different. Like, and it's not Tua to me. Like, Tua, even in college, he looked very stiff almost. Like, throwing the football whenever you saw Tua throw it always looked kind of, I don't know, it didn't look fluid. Same thing with, like, Jalen Hurts. It just didn't look fluid to me. Bryce Young just looks the part. Like, he's fluid. He can make every throw. He's got a big arm.
It looks effortless.
He looks effortless. And yeah. Orlovsky mentioned just the snap of the wrist. Like, to me, he looks like a superstar in the making. And I hope that he does end up in the Texans. And if it means waiting until 2023, if it means that I pass up on Kenny Pickett, 4218, saying Pickett looks like Herbert. You don't want a guy like Justin Herbert? That's quite the leap, automatically saying that Kenny Pickett's going to be Justin Herbert. But if it means having to, you know, sit out a year in the quarterback market to get a Bryce Young, to me it's worth the risk because I think the next future star quarterback is the dude slinging it for Alabama right now.
No, I don't disagree. The only thing I disagree on is that Tua looks fluid. Tua looks fantastic. Tua's a guy that's going to be in the NFL for a long time, and Tua's a guy you build around because of what he's done recently for the Dolphins, just because I want to stir up that conversation again. But no, I mean, when
have
I look at
have you seen
it,
Tua's numbers, by the way? He's throwing the ball like 30 times for 180 yards. It's weird.
Last game he had 200... 200 and some yards. And
like 202 for like 35
throws.
I thought
it was more like 230, and 240.
Then, I forget who they played, but you had one of their secondary dudes that said he was the emergency quarterback and he could throw the ball 3 yards down the field like Tua.
Okay, well, we're not going to revisit that conversation. Look, I look at, like I said, even with Corral, and I think Pickett came on late, but Pickett has a lot of what NFL scouts are going to look for on the next level in terms of the size, the arm strength. He showed with the run, with that he the 58-yard run, no matter what you thought about the, you know, starting the slide or not. He's athletic. He can do some things. A lot of comparisons to Justin Herbert. But I think that when you're looking with a guy that's a can't miss, right? Because he's with Herbert, you look like he still looks kind of slow. He looks like kind of, even with his reads and his progressions too.
You're talking about Pickett?
I'm sorry, Pickett. Yeah, as opposed to Herbert. Pickett, that's where I'd separate between Pickett and Herbert. But I look at Young, and like you said, I mean, he's going through his progressions. He's looking at all the different routes. He's picking his spots. And whether it's a long throw, a short throw, or a throw in a tight window, he's making every throw right now. And that's what I said. And now he's still going to get more seasoning for the next year or so. That's the guy you need to focus on. I'm totally with you.
And another thing to think about, too, the fact on how he looked against that Georgia defense. Like, no one gave Alabama any hope. They didn't give Alabama any chance. All we heard about was that vaunted Georgia defense that allows 6.5 points per game. And what did Bryce Young do against that defense? He threw for over 400 yards and had 3 touchdowns in that game. Like, he made that defense, who everybody thought was the best defense in a really long time in college football, look pedestrian. I feel like he's going to be a superstar in the NFL. And the Bryce Young campaign to the Texans needs to
hashtag
begin
forever
right
young, and
now.
You will hear a lot of it. Our man Jay-Z, and I don't mind that because it's Jay-Z. And the Hova and the Hizzy, back to my Rockets days. That's what I used to sign off some shows with. But, yeah, if the Hova's in the Hizzy, that's always nice, but it's forever young. That's what we're after.
All right. I don't know what that means, but 713-780-ESPN.
Jeremy Fowler's more hip than Jeremy Branham?
There's no doubt about that. I'm not very cool. That's not really breaking news.
You want to go back and listen to that interview again?
With Fowler?
I think you got a little bit more personality. You got a little more zip on your fastball.
I don't know. 713-780-3776. Houston, how do you feel about the Bryce Young campaign? Should the Texans be thinking about the 2023 NFL draft? 713-780-ESPN. Kirk Herbstreit, top dude in college football, especially as ESPN goes. He's being very hypocritical with Cincinnati in the college football playoff. We tell you what we mean when we return to Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, guys, give you a little bit of advice here. I know you don't want to hit the ball for the holiday season if your significant other is someone that you really want to do something for, but you don't want to get into the mall and wait in lines and try and find parking and do all the things. You don't have to. All you got to do is go to Pajamagram right now, pajamagram.com, and they've got a multitude of from lingerie and nighties and nightgowns to straight PJs. All the different great gifts that your significant other's going to love. And in a lot of cases, it's the gift that keeps on giving. You get it for her, but boy, are you going to get a lot out of it too, because they are sexy, they are unbelievable, and they are going to be something that you guys are both going to want to share in. And especially now, they've got these new sensuous and smooth, naturally nude pajamas that feel just like skin. I mean, they're soft, it's smooth, it's alluring. It's better than lingerie in a lot of ways. But the texture and touch of these pajamas is so seductive. You're going to love the feel of them, and it leaves nothing to the imagination. So the look is as good as the feel, if you know what I mean. Naturally nude pajamas. She'll love the feeling, and wearing them is like wearing next to nothing at all. And best of all, Pajamagram does all the wrapping for you with free gift packaging right now. And if you order before they sell out, they're also going to have another special offer for you. When you get these naturally nude pajamas, you're also going to get the naturally nude nightie to go along with it. So it's a double gift, if you will, that keeps on giving, along with the free gift wrapping, all delivered before Christmas. Perfect for you and your significant other. And again, you buy it for her, but you get something out of it too. It's a year filled with the unexpected, but it finishes the right way because you get her something she can count on. Not only you, but what she's going to wear to bed. You need to order today. They're going to sell out fast. Go right now to pajamagram.com. That's pajamagram.com and order the naturally nude pajamas. Tell them Joel Blank sent you by.
ESPN 97.5.
Turn down for what?
Talking sports with you, not at you. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Kirk Herbstreit, ESPN top analyst in college football. You see him on every top game, whether it's ABC, ESPN, of course, the star of game day, as much as you might like Lee Corso. So he's taking a lot of heat, Kirk Herbstreit is, for the way he's talking about Cincinnati. He's calling out all of the conspiracy theories, probably like me, to be honest with you, that for the longest time, the college football committee and college football as a whole was holding down the little guy. With the little guy was never having a fair shake. And Herbstreit saying that Cincinnati is the perfect example that that was never the case. Is Kirk Herbstreit right here?
I think Kirk Herbstreit, and I don't want to say he's lost his fastball a little bit, because Lee Corso has. That's why Corso, yeah, he really has, and that's why he's not the star of that show anymore. But as big as Kirk's got, Kirk sometimes picks the wrong spots to go really off on a tangent and make a point. And even on Twitter, I see him kind of just lose it sometimes. But I don't think I can go with him here on this one.
It's interesting, too, because like UCF had a year where they were undefeated, yet they didn't have an opportunity to go to the Final Four. And you can make the case, well, you know, they weren't one of the best four teams. The four teams picked ahead of them were better. And maybe you're right. But the fact that they did have a chance, even with an undefeated season, to compete for its national championship, pretty bizarre. Like Kirk Herbstreit, I can't find the tweet right off the top of my head. But basically calling out all of the people who have defended the UCFs of the world.
He went crazy.
And he's like cussing on Twitter, too, which isn't very like Kirk Herbstreit-like. Like, you wouldn't think he was that type of guy. Here it is. After 7 years of bitching and complaining from a vocal minority that the college football system is rigged and the small guy will never get a chance, haven't heard much from you the last couple of days. Everything, he's calling him out. Everything okay? What's the next conspiracy theory? Can't wait, because that one is history.
Yeah, he needs to slow down. This is the same guy that is a former Ohio State Buckeyes quarterback that took so much heat on social media from so many Buckeye fans, and he was so offended that he moved to Nashville. So, you know what? He likes to bail after he tries to put his foot down and be Joe Tough Guy, but I don't know why he picked this freaking hill to die on, because, look, I mean, when you look at it, were they wrong? Like you said, and you know, you experienced it firsthand with what you saw with Cincinnati. But the thing is we're not looking at any other Power 5 conference, winner that we said, hey, they should be there instead of them. And they ran the table. They played the schedule they were given. They did everything they were supposed to do. So why punish them? And if there was another one, I would be sitting there trying to, wave the flag for them as well that said, look, if there's two, then they should both be in too, because they did what they were supposed to do. And I don't know why Kirk Herbstreit, whose bread is buttered all over by college football. This is one of those where you don't pick any side. You let it play out, and then you start talking about what needs to be different if there's an expanded playoff.
And the other thing, too, is, like, it just worked out perfectly for there not to be any sort of conspiracy theory. Like, what happened if Oklahoma State beats Baylor? Like, are we still having the same conversation, or does the committee jump Oklahoma State over Cincinnati? Then you can have that argument back with Kirk Herbstreit saying, here we are. We're still here. We're still talking about the conspiracy, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Like, it worked out perfectly for the committee. The committee's probably very happy that they didn't even have the tough decision to make. Like, if Oklahoma State would have beat Baylor convincingly, I wonder if we're still having that same conversation today. And for Kirk to send out that tweet without even acknowledging that, I think it's pretty weak. Kenny Pickett, the quarterback at Pitt, who many people like in this NFL draft, I think he's going to end up being the top drafted quarterback in the NFL draft. Will he be a Houston Texan? We'll see. He's debating whether or not to play in the upcoming New Year's Six game for his team. He's debating whether he should sit out the Peach Bowl or not. That's a New Year's Six game. It's the biggest bowl game that Pitt has played in a very long time, if not ever. I don't know Pitt Panther history all that much. But a huge bowl game, obviously, right? What do you make of Kenny Pickett deciding to at least think about this, whether or not to play in the Peach Bowl for his university?
Let me tell you something, Jeremy. It's called a business decision. It's a smart business decision. It's the same way Thibodeau's not going to play for Oregon. At the end of the day, it's a business. And for them, they're looking at what's next. And the last thing you want to do before you get into the NFL draft, where you're almost a surefire number one pick with guaranteed millions of dollars and all the different, endorsements that come with it, is go play a bowl game and get hurt and screw the whole thing up. And we've seen it happen before. Jalen Smith was a guy that was supposed to be a first-round pick. And the Cowboys ended up for a short period of time after his rehab and a year or so, where it really took him to come back. They got him on the cheap in a lower round, I think second or third round. And he was never the same player, but he was okay. He was good for a couple of years. But you run that risk. And there's, you can look and go up and down. Was McGahee or one of the running backs from Miami did it too?
McGahee got crushed in his bowl game. Remember against Ohio State?
Yeah.
He ripped up his knee.
Yeah, so that's what I was going to say. So there's a lot of guys that know they're going to be first-round picks, And all of a sudden, you can't predict it, but we've seen it in the past that these things have happened. As much as for the university's sake and all the Pitt fans and everybody that's looking at it and going, man, we got a chance to really do something here. At the end of the day, the only thing that he can really do from now until the draft that could screw things up for him is do what he was playing the bowl game and get hurt. So I can't blame him. I know it's a bummer, but I can't blame him because with NIL and everything else, we've seen what we've always said, which is NCAA football is a business too. And the business has always been weighted towards the coaches getting the money and jumping ship to get more money and the universities capitalizing on all the different revenue streams that they get money. But the players, with all the things that have changed and the tables that have turned and the opportunities that are open, more than ever before, they got to protect what's theirs, and theirs is the right to go to the NFL and get paid.
6927 texting in on the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. For Pickett, it's worth it to play IMO. He can really bump his stock up to the top of the draft. See, I don't think anything he can do in this game is really going to change his stock much at all. I feel like NFL evaluators know who he is as a college football quarterback, and then what he does in the combine and any sort of like – yeah, I don't think he'd be going to the Senior Bowl. He's not a senior. He is a senior, but I don't know if he'd be going to the Senior Bowl. So I feel like his evaluation's probably done as far as scouts and GMs go. I don't feel like he can hurt his – I don't feel like he can help his stock by playing. He can hurt it if he gets hurt. And it kind of leads me to the next point that I have. I hate bowl games nowadays, and this is the reason why. Like, if you're not in the college football playoff, like, there's still the pomp and circumstance of, like, the Rose Bowl, and there's still the parade and all of that cool stuff. But whenever you have the star players who are NFL guys, a lot of times they're sitting out these bowls now anyways. And once you have the college football playoff expansion, which seems like it's going to happen at some point, hopefully sooner rather than later, and you go to 12 teams, like outside of those 12 teams and outside of all of those games that are involved in the playoff, there's not going to be tons of interest for bowl games going forward. Dana Holgorsen told me this point. He said, why not just scrap all bowl games? You have your playoff, and then use that bowl game the very next year. That way you can still have your bowl tie-ins. Like, the very first week of the year, you play the Rose Bowl. So you have the Parade of Roses, yeah. You have the pomp and circumstance, you have the Big Ten champion and the Pac-12 champion. They're playing toe-to-toe in the Rose Bowl the following season. It doesn't matter out of conferences as much going forward in a 12-team playoff because you win your conference, you're going to go to the playoff anyway, so it doesn't matter if you lose in week zero. If you do win that game, you're boosting your resume. I feel like they should move the bowl games from postseason to basically week zero the following year.
I don't like that at all. I don't mind like a rematch of the national championship game type thing, like when they do these tip-off tournaments in basketball and get some of the top four or five rated teams in the country to play. But I think from a bowl game, look, I don't disagree. The matchups suck this year. There's a lot of bad matchups. Honestly, the Rose Bowl's lucked out in a lot of ways in the last couple of years because they got a really good team like in Ohio State to play a really good team like Oregon or the best team in the Pac-12, and it still worked out. But they need to scrap all of that and just really do it the way to coincide with the expanded playoff and do it so that, you know, the major game, the major bowls get the major games, and you can rotate them. That's fine. But make sure that the matchups are good. Because, look, as much as we make fun of who's sponsoring, so the Jimmy Fallon Bowl now is one of them?
That can't be real.
There is a Jimmy Fallon Bowl. There's a mayonnaise bowl.
I know there's a mayo bowl. They were tweeting out at a player for saying they didn't like mayonnaise the other day, which was pretty funny.
Yeah, well, then they're also saying that there's almost like a reward if they douse one of the coaches that that wins instead of Gatorade with mayo.
That's terrible.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And the Meineke Car Care Bowl, all these other bowls, and now the matchups are as bad as the names on the bowl games. They need to start really taking into consideration when the playoff expands, just doing what's necessary to get the best matchups that don't involve the teams that are in the playoff.
To get rid of the tie-ins.
Yeah, and just let's just focus on the best football games we can, because that'll draw more interest than whoever sponsors it and whatever fan base travels the best.
Yeah, I feel like it's an antiquated model. It's kind of a dying thing. 6-9
just like the playoffs have been. The playoffs, all the from BCS had its flaws. Now we've got the college football playoff has its flaws. And before that, it was all antiquated and behind the times anyway. So let's just get it all right.
It's getting better. 6927 texting in again saying IMO equals in my opinion. I know that. I know that that means in my opinion. I just want to be clear to you, 6927, that I was trying to be hip. IMO, talking in abbreviations. I'm well aware that IMO equals my in my opinion. But good stuff. Thanks for chiming in, and thanks for listening to the Killer Bees. Coming up next on the Killer Bees, how about the fallout from this Zach Cunningham release? What are the other Houston Texans having to say? And what are they saying about the culture in the building? That's next. But first, a minute on Pro Dunk Hoops. It's the best basketball goal on the planet. Tempered glass backboard gives it the authentic feel. Adjustable goals for every part of the game. Your kids want it. You want it. You can throw down some monster jams and relive your heyday back when you were a kid. Or if your kid's working on his game, middle school basketball, high school basketball, you can take some jump shots as you raise it all the way up to 10 feet. Competition-grade breakaway rim. It's perfect for dunking, hanging, keeping you safe. It's strong. Durability is strength of ProDunk Hoops with their stainless steel fasteners, thicker steel, and their exclusive rust armor, making them sturdy and strong. Best feature, they install the goal. The pros at ProDunk Hoops will do all of the work for you. They install it at the perfect height. It's perfectly straight. You don't do a thing. Let the pros at ProDunk Hoops do all of the work for you. They come in a variety of sizes, including the new one, the Bear, which is great for those pesky HOAs. And they have the perfect fit for your driveway or yard. Call 281-351-9822 and visit ProDunkHoops.com. That's ProDunkHoops.com.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5. Informed opinions are always presented here. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
From their standpoint, being able to lock me in, just kind of told me that, you know, they have a great amount of trust in me. They believe in me, believe what I can do for the program. And the sentiment is the same for me. I believe that I have a lot to give to the program.
Man, things change fast in sports, huh? Life comes at you fast. That was Zach Cunningham when he re-signed with the Texans in August of 2020. He was all in. I mean, they gave you $58 million for 4 years. Who wouldn't be all in? But certainly things happening fast, changing fast in sports. There were some talking heads yesterday around the NFL. I think Brendan did a great job of bringing up this point about, look, you can't say that this was a previous regime thing and completely wash your hands of it like you weren't at fault at all. This was way back in August of 2020, whenever Bill O'Brien was asked about the Texans re-signing Zach Cunningham. O'Brien said, really, to be very honest with you, Jack Easterby did a lot of this negotiation. I was there. I'm coaching the football team. We have a very unique model. Said it 1,000 times. I'll say it again. I don't mind saying it. We, Jack and I, work together. We're all in charge of different things. So relative to how a general manager's position has been defined in the past, may not be exactly the way we do it, if that makes sense. I coach and I work with Jack, and he works extremely hard in the things that he's in charge of. He oversees a lot of different things, from medical to training. He works on contracts with Kevin, and we work together. It's a team. Hopefully we can win. That was not the case. And prove that's the way to do it. I would say that Jack Easterby and Zach Cunningham's representation should get a lot of the credit for getting a deal done, and obviously Zach. Yet you have people, national people in the media yesterday, tweeting how this was a previous regime thing and completely ignoring, maybe Jack Easterby's role has changed now with Casterio in the building, but you can't say this was a previous regime thing when Jack Easterby's still upper management on this
team.
Didn't
you try and respond and set him straight and yes. They wouldn't respond?
I mean, I thought you'd do that. Response, but.
No, but I think you should have, because I think, you know, just like they're always like supposed to be on the cusp of everything with breaking news and their sources, this and that. I mean, admit when you're wrong, too. Admit when you could have done a little bit more research, because I was thinking the same thing. It's like, this is what we've been talking about all along, why Texans fans still hate the Texans. Bill's gone, but it's like the stain in your underwear after you had one of those days. You got rid of the crap, but the stain is still there, and that's Jack Easterby, and he ain't going anywhere. So how do you people forget about the fact that every time Bill spoke, remember the draft when O'Brien got really pissed off after the one pick, then tried to play it off, but then it was like, me and Jack are in my backyard on the deck almost every day. Me and Jack are zooming. Me and Jack traded the best player in the NFL for a bag of chips. It was fun. We're doing a lot of good stuff. We're walking. We're power walking. We're thinking about hitting the malls when the pandemic ends. But all of a sudden, Jack had nothing to do with it.
I got into a little bit of a wormhole looking at past Texans press conferences today. I couldn't find this with O'Brien. I wouldn't shock me if the Texans took it off, to be honest with you, because they have like every press conference for like the last 6 years, yet that one I certainly couldn't find. But Jack Easterby did a lot of this negotiation, said O'Brien. I would say that Jack and Zach's representation should get a lot of the credit for getting a deal done. It's mind-blowing. It's mind-blowing that you have this that was actually said and was the truth in August 2020, late August of 2020, when Zach Cunningham re-signed with the Houston Texans. And then you have, you know, Nick Caserio probably leaking it out to the national media that, oh, yeah, it was a previous regime type of deal. You shouldn't blame Caserio for this. You shouldn't blame the current administration because this was the past administration. Let's put this all on Bill O'Brien. Even though the dude doing the contract was Jack Easterby, and he's still at least and at minimum the third most powerful person in the Houston Texans triad in upper management. Meanwhile, the players that spoke to the media yesterday, they were peppered with Zach Cunningham questions. They were peppered with culture questions. They were peppered with standards questions that the Houston Texans have. Here was Brandon Cooks, who's very big and vocal about being part of that culture. He says the message that Zach Cunningham's release has been heard loud and clear.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think they're just trying to do things in a certain way, and I think that message is being loud and clear.
So the players have understood the message. They've understood the message with the release of Zach Cunningham.
The only thing that I'll say is, in some of the other moves that were made, we did hear players speak. We heard their feedback. We even heard on Twitter Brandon Cooks and then subsequently more feedback. But we heard from them. It is a little bit strange that after this move, no one's really talking. I mean, I understand that Tyrod Taylor the last time took the high road with Justin Reed to say the team's going to do what the team's going to do because he still wanted to be the starting quarterback of the football team, and he was still entrenched in whatever they were trying to do on a weekly basis. But normally, as it is in any locker room of that size with that many players, there are cliques, there are tight-knit groups. You got your boys, and your boys are going to have your back. And in a lot of cases, by now, one of his boys would have probably stepped up and said, well, he got done wrong here, and this happened or that happened, and we'd kind of start being able to get through the weeds and figure out, like, what the true details are. No one's talking. That's crazy to me.
I went and listened. There was three players that spoke to the media yesterday, and you can't go in the locker room anymore since the COVID pandemic, and sometimes that's whenever you would get your best stuff because those aren't the people that are being placed behind the podium. Usually the people that are being placed behind the podium are ones that aren't going to raise trouble, right? Like, they're not going to stir things up. But now that you can't go in the locker room, it's a little bit more difficult, I think, to get that drama that you might normally get. Brandon Cooks kind of really didn't say much. It was very much like, yeah, we get the message. Yeah, we have standards. Rex Burkhead said even less, where it's like, I don't want to talk about what's going on in the locker room. John Grenard, to me, was the one that was the most outspoken. Like, he has, honestly, I really like John Grenard from, like, a personality standpoint. He's been a solid player, too. 8 sacks in 9 games. Might be one of the few pieces that this team has going forward that can be here in the long run. But he got pretty open about it, and here's one where Grenard talked about if the team understands the message of the Cunningham release.
I mean, if there's a message, I mean, obviously I didn't think there was a message. I mean, if you're not handling your stuff or whatever to a certain standard, then boom, that's what goes on. So, I mean, if you take care of your business, you shouldn't have nothing to worry about. I mean, it's pretty obvious what y'all heard, so just run with that.
See, we mock standard and we mock culture because it's very easy to do whenever a team's very bad and they're 2-10. I don't really believe.
Well, and they have the track record reputation this team has.
In terms of what?
In terms of, we mock it because on a daily basis, they talk about a culture, but everything we see is the opposite of the culture they're trying to project.
You know, one thing, too, is like, it's a little bit more, like, to me, it reminds me of the saying, like, do as I say, not as I do. Like, Bill Belichick doesn't really talk about the standard in the way. They just do it, right? Mm-hmm. That's just the way that it is. Like, I don't think that this Texan standard is really that difficult. They're asking you to show up on time. They're asking you to do what's right as a pro. Like, I don't feel like they're asking the Texans, if we're really, really, really being honest about it. I don't feel like the standard is that difficult to comply with.
I hear what you're saying. Here's where I'd push back, right? The difference is Belichick literally, especially starting with rookies who aren't supposed to talk at all, but he starts by telling everybody in their meetings and locker rooms, here's what I want you to say during press conferences. If you're not going to say we're on to Seattle, then I want you to talk about nothing, you know, positives about what we've done here.
No bulletin board material.
Yeah, no bulletin board material for one, but, you know, nothing but, you know, positives and accolades of the good things that you can take or attributes from whatever we've done. But he basically, it's like we joke about the note cards, but essentially he gives his team note cards.
Yeah. There's been a side-by-side done with
Mac. Not a lot of teams do that. Not a lot of teams do it to that level, but you're right. From the terms of just from an NFL locker room's expectations, it's not like this grandiose change in culture that no one else has.
Like, I mean, we work at Gal Media. We have a standard. We have a culture of show up on time, do your job, try to be good at it, right? That's basically it. Like, that's the standard of every job. That's what Texans are doing.
I could make jokes and talk about people that aren't here anymore, but I think that one thing that you made reference to in the Herb Street story, though, that is something that was always a point of contention, but is something that from a representative of Gal Media, or if you represent any company, whether you're dealing with sports or not, you have to realize that you represent them on Twitter and social media, and even when you're at the grocery store and otherwise, even if you don't like it, to where you have to carry yourself a certain way. I saw something last night from someone not named Kirk Herbstreit that is a journalist, that is a beat writer, that came out in all caps with an F-bomb in a tweet, and I was like, I cringed for a second and went, ooh, whether you think that was positive, negative, or otherwise, I wouldn't run the risk of letting someone that I work for evaluate that.
Exactly. I wouldn't do that. There's no way I would do that as a representative of whoever you're a representative of. Why are you looking at me funny, Brendan? Brendan's got this funny look on his face.
I just think what you guys do is a little bit different.
It is different because you're trying to stir stuff up and you're trying to be entertaining, like, create some content.
I don't know.
But show up on time. Like, we were required to show up on time. That's all that this is why Zach Cunningham got in trouble. We don't know why he got in trouble the first time. The second time he got in trouble was because he didn't show up on time. Like, come on. Like, that's not that hard.
No, he missed the test.
Yeah. He didn't show up on time to be there for the test. Like, right. I mean, be a pro. Like, Zach Cunningham's not completely innocent in all this. And maybe Zach Cunningham was forcing his way out, and maybe it was a calculated move.
I mentioned that to you. Yeah, I brought that to the table, and I firmly believe that. I believe that he saw Bradley Roby do it. He saw that in a lot of ways Deshaun Watson did it. And though he's not gone yet, I think he saw it and went, look, this is the franchise, that at least one of the franchises that their track record says, if I'm a bad apple and I push it to the brink, they'll do what I want to do, which is get the hell out of here and get somewhere else. I agree with that. But look.
But it's also not wrong for the Texans to release a dude that's doing
it. No.
Yeah.
Because at a certain point, whether you have created that culture already or you're in the fetal stages of trying to develop a culture, you reach a breaking point too and go, look, I don't care how good you are. I don't care who signed what to you. I don't care if we need you or not. I'm just done with this. It's a headache for me every day, and I don't look forward to coming to work because of it. You eliminate it,
sure.
Right?
Yeah, but I think that if Cunningham had that calculated way of doing that, whatever. If the Texans released him for being late multiple times, then whatever on that, too. My fault is Caserio didn't have the foresight to trade him in the offseason. Whenever he was a scheme fit going into a 4-3, and he had the early signs of it by playing outside linebacker and having his green dot removed. Here's John Grenard, another one that I thought was pretty interesting. They asked him about the culture, and Grenard says, we understand the culture that is set.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like an unspoken rule what the standard is. Obviously, take care of your business, show up from time for me. It's all the little basic stuff that you shouldn't have. That's kind of self-explanatory. I mean, I've handled majority of the team. We've handled, I mean, everybody is doing their job. Just, I mean, as what y'all seen, I mean, he was deactivated. I guess he was inactive last game. So, I mean, it's obviously something was up. So, stuff got to be done. It wasn't the first time. So, something had to be done.
I don't think the Texans should be at fault for releasing him. And Grenard's telling you the standards we have aren't that hard. Be on time. Be a pro. Not difficult. Yeah.
Look, and again, the only way we truly know, unless someone just decides to spill the beans and talk about the tea leaves, is, you know, we hear Randall Cobb make the comment of finally getting out of that hellhole and all the things he said. We know
he didn't quite say that.
There were.
He said it was like a. He said the Packers were like a Fortune 500 company and the Texans were a startup. He didn't call it a hellhole. That's a bit much.
Okay. Well, but there were other guys that have alluded to the fact that it's a really tough situation. I'll just put it that way then, okay? It's a really tough situation to be in that locker room and in that team situation in those four walls. We don't know what it's like, right? We don't know. Because, look, we've also heard the stories, and I have people that have actually lived through it, whether it was with the Giants or the Jaguars, the Tom Coughlin approach of literally adjusting every clock in the building so that no one was anything short of 15 minutes early for every meeting. And if they were somehow be late, they were going to be punished and that, you know, it was going to be his way or the highway. That works at colleges when the player needs you more than you need them. But when you get into the professional ranks and you realize that a lot of the players are going to make more than you do, you have to change your ways and the way that you create your culture and expect it to be carried through on a daily basis.
To me, that's why it's an action more than words. Like, stop preaching about the culture and the standards and just do it, right? Like, just do it. And they did. They did do it with Zach Cunningham.
And it is interesting, and I don't know how much you deal with this when you take the charters in college, but I know from the charters in the NBA, too, that was something that, look, and Russell Westbrook's one of those guys that he is more like what we're hearing about from Grenard and other guys. Like, look, it's common sense in being a pro, right? In anything you do, whether you sell insurance or play sports, you're on time. You handle yourself appropriately. You act it with class. You don't, you know, cuss. You're not vulgar. You're not doing all these things. You follow an HR standard as well, right? I can't tell you how many times we would sit on tarmacs because one of our best players decided we were on his time. And it was through multiple teams with multiple different players that felt like we were all at their mercy because they were good at basketball. And at a certain point, it took a Russell Westbrook to stand up and say, especially with Harden, and go, what the hell is wrong with y'all? And why is that one guy more valuable than all of us when we're all expected to do exactly what he does?
Yeah. Our planes and charters leave 5 minutes before they're supposed to. Doesn't matter who's on the plane, who doesn't matter who's on the bus.
See, and it's easier to do in college, but when you start doing that to the likes of, you know, Hall of Fame and NBA type caliber players,
yeah, when they're making the decisions,
it all changes because they've got a whole lot more stake in the game than you'd like to believe as a player.
713-780-ESPN 713-780-3776. When we come back, we'll go around the NFL. Four teams who do not have their next season's quarterback currently on the roster. Are the Texans one of them? That's next. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, we'll tell you about Apollo Men's Health. I mean, Dr. O gets results, people. That's what it all comes down to. It's just, let's cut down to the brass tacks of it all. The fact of the matter is, if you're going to see someone, and men and women, it says Apollo Men's Health, it's for men and women with hormone therapy. We see women in the lobby all the time that are getting the benefits of going to Apollo Men's Health. It's about getting results. If you go there and you do what you're supposed to do, you pay your money, your insurance comes through, all those different things, but yet at the end of the day, you're not seeing the results and feeling better, then what the hell are you there for in the first place? That's why I send everybody to Apollo Men's Health. They've gotten me results. They'll get you results. All the listeners I see weekly when I'm sitting in the lobby waiting to get in, they're all telling me they came because they heard it from me. They come back because it's working for them. That's what you want to do. You want to go to Apollo Men's Health and get involved. From the boardroom to the weight room to the bedroom, if you're having problems, they're going to get you results and find you answers. They're going to take care of you every step of the way. It starts with making that first appointment. Go to ApolloMH.com. When you book the first appointment, you're going to find out most major insurance is accepted. There's discounts for military personnel and first responders. More importantly than that, though, go in to that appointment with an open mind. Answer their tough questions honestly. Tell them what your goals are, what you're trying to achieve, what you're lacking, you want to get back to. They're going to get you where you need to go. They take care of customers. That's the way they do business. Two locations to better serve you near downtown Houston. Check them out today. It's the good people at Apollo Men's Health.
ESPN 97.5.
Please stand by.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.